B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's 5 o'clock. We still have a winner in the Mother Music Medley, so I guess we'll have to play a couple more times to see if people can get it. And otherwise, it's the big Ziggy for today. The 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Guided Door and Window would like to acknowledge the health and safety of our community remains at the forefront of our minds. Together, we'll all get through this difficult time, and we will come out of it stronger than ever. The 5 o'clock hour, Guided Door and Window, that's right, brings it to us. Now, a couple of things as we start the 5 o'clock hour. There apparently is a Twitter war going on right now between Steve Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury,
yeah,
and Axl Rose.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I didn't see this.
Now, they know each other.
Right on.
Oh, they know each other?
What?
They know each other. That wasn't an out-of-the-blue thing where he picked him. I forget the link, but Axl Rose and him in some form have worked together.
Really?
Yes. So it wasn't just a blind political thing. It was Axl Rose knowing him, seeing the politics stuff, I'm not saying that's not involved, and then lashing out at him specifically.
How did they know?
I gotta find it again.
Axl Rose tweeted this. It's official. Exclamation point. Whatever anyone may have previously thought of Steve Mnuchin, he's officially an a-hole. Mnuchin hits back with, "What have you done for the country lately?" And there was an emoji, yeah, for some reason, of the flag of Liberia.
Yeah, I think he meant to do the...
They hit the wrong flag?
Yeah, he meant the American flag. And,
oh, come on, Steve.
And that, when you're doing a Twitter battle back and forth...
You quicken it up.
You do the Liberian flag... Because Axl jumps on that you're giving the guy, you're basically putting it on a tee for my man. So,
All right, it is this Earl Thomas story here, which is interesting. Earl Thomas was held at gunpoint by his wife, who suspected him of cheating. Austin Police Department responded to a home in the Austin, Texas area at 3:41 a.m., after getting a call about a disturbance. When cops arrived, they say, quote, "We observed a black female wearing an orange sweater with a knife in her hand, later identified as Nina Thomas, was chasing a shirtless black male, later identified as Earl Thomas, with a pistol in his hand around a vehicle."
Yeah.
Whew. He had the gun, she had a knife?
Well,
it gets even better.
Well, she showed up with the gun.
And two people.
Yeah, and two of her girls.
Yeah.
Wait, he was shacked up?
No. Oh,
Wait, Mike,
you don't know?
Mike, you don't know this?
Wait, no, I don't know the background here. What's going on?
All right, so Earl Thomas and his brother.
Uh-huh.
And his brother. Have a crib. That house is not where they live.
Oh, they have a party crib.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think the wife knew about that.
Uh-huh.
They were having a party where adults, multiple adults, have relations. Okay, there you go. All right, so they were having that kind of party.
Uh-huh.
It has a word I won't
together.
Use. Together.
The word that starts with an O?
Yes.
Yeah. The brothers were having one at the house.
Uh-huh.
He had somebody put it on Snapchat.
Which is super weird. Whatever.
Something on Snapchat.
Yeah.
So the wife... He had his location on his Snapchat.
His Bitmoji.
Yeah, his Bitmoji. So she saw it, called up her squad.
Uh-huh.
Showed up on the block because it didn't give you the exact house, but they saw there was like purple lights because that was the way they set it up. She walked up and down around the blocks until she saw a house with the purple lights and then busted up in the house with a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he's not social distancing, and she's got arrested.
Well, where did she think he was? At the crib?
Probably with his brother.
Weren't they fighting?
She was okay with
it. Yeah, I think they were a bit of an argument.
Oh, she was okay with the excess crib?
I don't think she knew about the excess crib. No.
And
it was probably in the brother's name, so she wouldn't see it on any reports or any, no mortgage paper. papers are coming or rent papers are coming because it's probably in the brother's name.
Mm-hmm.
And then she swings the gun at the
yeah
at the other girls who
at
were
the
at the
girls
party
at the cribs.
And said, "I got something for you, blanks too."
Yeah. So she's in there on him. She went in there with her like to take them all out. At least that was the.
Oh my God!
It was really bad. And now there's a couple of issues. One, the Ravens, like, so she's going to get in trouble, but, I mean, she's probably not going to do real time because apparently the gun was legal, but she's going to get in some
wait,
trouble.
She discovered him in bed.
Yeah. With a bunch. It was a whole thing.
It was
him and the brother.
And the brother. It was him and the brother.
Wilding out in this house during a pandemic when it's supposed to be social distancing. God. So now his contract's in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not the NFL. Those are rules right now. That's the equivalent of like riding a motorcycle. You're not supposed to be doing certain things in your contract right now during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. He's trouble at home, and now his wife might end up getting in some real trouble, which he's going to have to pay for.
Let me ask you a question. Because you've been around the block.
Yeah.
If you were coming up with the woman scorned hierarchy, and how would you rank black, Italian, Latino? Women.
Whew.
In the scorn woman
category.
That's what I was thinking. She Karen Hildum.
Yeah, in my experience, in my personal experience, it's, okay. In my personal experience, it's Latina one.
Really?
In my,
Latina one.
My, mm-hmm. Just my one person's opinion.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Black woman second.
Really?
Italian third.
Uh-huh.
In the direct rage situation.
Wait, is it the apartment story?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can tell the story.
Is this the story?
All right.
This is the Latina woman story?
No, this was a black woman.
Oh, the black woman story. Okay.
Mike, this is
great. Okay.
So.
Buckle up.
So we're having an argument.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's over something dumb. I didn't really do anything, but I can work a nerve. So, like, I acknowledge that, right? So, uh-huh. I made her mad, but I didn't do anything.
Right.
So, she was on the fourth floor, the apartment, and the apartment was locked with a deadbolt lock.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have a key, and it had a key lock.
Yeah.
She locks me in the apartment and leaves. Right? For, like a long time. So long, in fact, that now I'm in her linen closet. Tying up sheets try to escape out the window.
Oh.
I couldn't leave. Like she was like, I was like, you know what? I'm out of here. So she throws a pair of Timberland boots at me to kind of back me off the door because I was wearing Tim's. So she grabs my Tim's, throws them at me, gets me to duck, runs out. I don't know what she's doing at first, but I'm like, okay, peace. Then I'm starting to think, wait a minute. So I go to open the door. I think, okay, I'm going to put my Tim's on. I go to leave. The knob is loose. But the deadbolt with a key is locked.
Oh,
and I don't
man.
Have a key.
Wow.
She finally comes back. She's like, what are you doing with my sheets? I'm like, what are you doing locking me in your house?
Well, so like you're going to like escape from Alcatraz?
Yes.
Seriously, we're going to go down to sheets?
Yes.
Oh.
I had them secured. I'm trying to go out the window. I figured by like the second floor, I could just drop. I didn't need to get all the way down. But it was hours and hours. It was a long time.
You can't be
time.
Serious and you thought you were going to pull this sheet move.
I did. I was
like Rapunzel.
And it was smart on her to throw the Timberlands at me because it got me the duck that got her out of the place because I would have been out before her because I was just looking to leave. Like, you know what? I had enough. She did not have enough.
Were you at least going to test that out? Like, what were you going to anchor this sheet to?
I had
a radiator? Like, what was near the window that you were going to anchor it to?
Two or three different radiators. I had it like one around and up to another one and another one up, all up around the house. And I was trying to get out. And she was like, is it that serious? I go, you locked me in the house for hours and hours, man.
You could have jumped like Omar and landed in the bush, in the wire.
I'm trying to get
Omar
into it.
Omar was on the sixth floor,
yeah.
If you remember.
And the story got brought up, Ty, because I think you and I were simply talking about like fire escapes or something.
Yes.
Or like escaping from like a building. And then Ty told me the story and I was like, wait.
Listen, man, it wasn't that crazy. She just locked you in. It wasn't like she threw your clothes out and like you know set your tub on fire like Andre Ross.
She would have done that. She's at her apartment. I'm at her. She would have done bad things. One of the another time she left me at Home Depot. I was an idiot. I didn't break up with her right after that. That was like strike one. I gave her three strikes. She left me at Home Depot one time.
What's the young lady doing these days, do you think?
She has. I know what she's up to now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is she happily ever after?
Oh, no. Not to my knowledge. Last I heard.
All right. This is good. Jerome West Philly. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Tyrone, that was classic, man. What's going on, man?
What's up, Jerome?
Hey, look, this is why I love your show, man, because you're not scared to talk about stuff that's, like, off the sports path.
Well, we kind of have to, you know?
Right. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm going to go on my AJ soapbox for a minute, and I don't ordinarily do this, but I got to say it. First of all, that dude, Jason, whatever his name is, I want to change the letter in his last name from a W to you know what. Let's start there.
You don't like Jason Whitlock? You're not a fan?
Yeah, well. Yeah, I call him something else that I can't say on the air.
Yeah, okay. I figured out what it was.
I'm going to do something you're probably not going to be used to me doing, so I'm going to do this at the end of my call.
Uh-huh.
Dude, first of all, do you live in Philadelphia, Chicago, or anywhere? Do you walk the streets of any of these suburban, any of these city streets? Okay, we got Corona killing us. We killing ourselves. Cops is killing us. Now we got people that's not even police officers now killing us. It is a jungle, and we are being hunted. I don't know what world you live in, but evidently, you ain't really from the hood, because you don't know what the hell you talking about.
And well, but Tyrone explained it. Like, if it's phony, he's got, like, he's playing a character. Like, it's like, because you can't tell anymore. Like, you know, the Bayless thing, that's a character. And Jason Whitlock now apparently has flopped to adopt a character where he's going to be, you know, controversial to the other side.
Yeah, well, we got another name for people like that, but I can't say that on the air either.
No, I get you.
Hey, look, let me say this before I go, Mike. I'm going to give LeBron props right now because he didn't have to say a word. He could have took the Michael Jordan route, but he came out and was a real dude and said what he actually felt, and it wasn't scripted. I can appreciate that because he said exactly what every black man is thinking right now. Thanks, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, Jerome. Thank you. Let's go Joseph on a cell. Joseph, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mikey Mess.
What's up, Joseph?
Nothing much. I have a question that I wanted your opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a real estate agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, New York and New Jersey has the highest, you know, numbers of confirmed cases for the coronavirus.
Yes.
And New York and New Jersey continued, you know, real estate. They never shut down once.
Right.
Governor Wolf shut real estate down.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry.
I mean, because to me, it makes no sense at all why Pennsylvania, the real estate is shut down, but New York and New Jersey, they can still do real estate.
I can't answer the question because I don't know what Wolf's rationale to that is.
Well, I mean, there isn't any, right? I mean, what?
Well, I mean, there must be a rationale to why he did it.
I called his office mm-hmm. on Monday and let the phone ring for almost 40 minutes because I had nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And someone picked up. I asked the same question. And verbatim, she said, I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I don't know enough about the issue to comment on it. But he must have some kind of reason, and you're right to pursue it.
Well, I feel like he's on a power trip. I feel like there's absolutely no reason.
I think he's going overboard on the side of safety because there might be a reason. Obviously, when you're talking about a real estate situation, showing a house, you're gonna be, you know, close contact with people, right?
Well, no, not necessarily. Why? No, well, if you go to the beer distributor and get a six pack of, or a case of beer.
You're kind of walking in a house, showing the house to someone, and that you have to communicate with them in a fairly close nature, don't you?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you could have over 6 feet of distance between. I mean, think about it. If you're in a house, you don't have to, you know, be in close quarters. I mean,
yeah, but that would have to be self enforced? I don't know. I can't tell you. It's obviously an issue for you, and it should be.
Yeah, clearly. All right, buddy. Just wanted to see where your thoughts were.
All right, man. You got it.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, the New York and New Jersey didn't shut it down, but you're not allowed in a house. It's drive-by appraisals, drive-by viewings. You can use the internet. You're not allowed to go in the house. So mm-hmm. that's the difference because you can't enforce it. I know you can say, oh, we'll stay 6 feet apart. How do you enforce
it? The rationale is you don't know where these people have been, and so you're in close contact with them. And it's just an overly protective measure for everybody, the real estate agent and the people who are going to be there, because they don't know where the real estate agent's been.
Right. Now, I don't know if it's right or wrong. I'm just saying New Jersey.
That's got to be the rationale. Yeah. Maybe it is overly restrictive. I don't know. All right. Let's play the Mother Music medley again, because nobody biting today. And this is a hard one. And maybe it's a little too hard. So here it is, the Mother Music Medley, 3 songs in 3 seconds. Listen closely, and if you know what they are, it's 215-263-0975. All right, kick it.
Mother.
All right, let's do one.
Can we have one more time?
Let's do one more time.
Mother.
The second one, I have no idea. The third one, I could kind of get with the bass line.
I think I might know one.
I know the first one, definitely. So, it's an old school.
Yes. Okay.
It's an old school group.
Okay.
Voice distinctive group.
I'm going to go out on a limb and give a hint. All I'm going to say is the first and the third one, very gettable.
Yes.
The middle one's the hard one.
The middle one is impossible.
Right. So if I play it again, maybe focus on that middle one if you're listening, because you can sort of get, if you know these artists, the first and the third one. So try to focus on the middle if you can out there, people on TV and radio.
Mother.
Oh.
I don't know many people. I
need it like 6 more times, and I think I got it.
Yeah, it might be a stumper today.
It might be a stumper. And then I guess the person would get 2. We playing for 2. Tomorrow's Friday, last day. So people, if no one gets it, it'll be 2 gold dip roses.
Right. Okay. So, somebody earlier in the show brought up moments of The Sopranos that stick out to you. What's your best moment? Like, obviously, the Pine Barrens one we can never forget because it was, it was classic. And he killed 5 Czechoslovakians when it was Chesney and Rebels and the whole bit. And they're chasing and they're eating to catch a packs the whole bit. But here's some that I just thought of. Janice killing Richie Aprile.
Oh, yeah.
At the dinner table.
That's a good one.
Oh, man, it's shocking.
Yeah, didn't expect it.
All right. Ralph Cifaretto and the exotic dancer on the roof, and then Tony beats him up for doing it. And he killed the girl, remember?
Yeah, that was awesome. And he's like, I'm a made guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. The fish as Pussy talking to Tony. Yeah, he walked by, it was in his dream, and the fish was talking, and it was Pussy, whatever his last, I forget what his last name was. Uncle June in the bed with his girlfriend, when she's trying to talk some in various other areas, and he's not interested, and he goes, pass the peppers. And then, how about this one? Fat Dom Gambiello. Coming into the Bing in the back, and Carlo and Syl have to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Fat Dom Gambiello made some cracks about Vito.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And then Tony comes. He goes, Tom, you don't want to come in here. And then finally, C from Bronx Tale.
Oh, yeah.
Getting zipped after Tony gives him the Diet Coke. And he's interrogating him, and C is peeing himself.
Okay, yeah.
And then Tony goes, "You like that? You like that Diet Coke?" He goes, "Yeah, thanks." He goes, "Cause it's the last Diet Coke you're ever going to drink." Boom! And that was the end of C.
Yeah, and that was before he went to prison in real life.
Yeah, that's correct.
Seriously, before he got popped in real life.
Yes. All right, let's go, Charlie in South Philly. Charlie on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charlie.
Yeah, thanks.
Charlie. Yo, Charlie. Charlie! Yeah, you gotta be ready, Charlie. I'll put you on hold. Tony at Temple. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tone.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
What's up, Tone?
Good, man. Tyrone, you chased all of us out the building down here with that last story you had on, man. Hey, Tony, what's up? My man almost peed on himself, man. I hope I got it. It was too funny, man. It was way... That's why you guys will always have a job. Sports is real sports. I'm not even concerned about that. Hey, Mike, real quick now. I just want you to know I missed my general knowledge questions. Yeah. I was waiting for one. I never got one.
Oh, sorry, man. We messed around long.
I know, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you a fan? I know we got to get a top 10 list of the things that Mike is not a fan of, right? Because you called me one time with the nickname. I know you don't like that. I know you don't like the cheerleaders, so we're going to get a top 10 list of the things that Mike is not a fan of. But I'm gonna talk
Mike,
about
Mike's not a fan of a lot of things. I don't know if you can stop at 10.
Well, we got to go 100. Mike is not a fan.
No, I can. You know what? 10 are only about 10 things.
No, it's probably 100, Mike. It's probably.
No.
You're one of the most open-minded sports journalist broadcasters, prognosticators I've ever seen in my life. Back.
Well, listen, I got to ask you. Like, when sports comes back, like baseball, for instance, right. Hollow, big field, you know, what's that going to feel like to you?
Well, first of all, I agree with you and Tyrone as far as what's going to happen if they rush too soon, they don't. If they put it on there, because you actually touched on this about 2 weeks ago, when you were saying how without any fans in the stadium, it won't be sports again. It will never be sports as we know, because the auto emotion, I'm going to throw a quick word in there, the auto emotion that when the ball is in the air, that 20-foot putt, you're looking at a guy who's about to sink the last 2 seconds of a shot. There's an expectation of something great happening. Now, the Japanese did it when they dubbed in the fan noise. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. You can dub in every noise from every game they've ever had.
Yeah.
Not going to happen, Mike.
Well, listen, like I said, they are going to start sports. There's no question in my mind they're not going to start it. I didn't say not to start it.
Right.
Because they are going to do it. I had no influence. I'm just telling you how it's going to feel to me.
About the whole, you know, back and forth. They got confused about it.
Yeah.
The key thing is, do you think they should dub in the fan noise?
No, I think that would be worse.
I know.
I do. I really think it would be worse if they dubbed fan noise in. Do you?
I agree with you. I think what they're going to do is they're going to play more music and stuff like that in general, not during the actual play.
Uh-huh.
But I think they're going to do other things.
Yeah.
And they're also going to put more, unlike the South Korean, they're going to put, the plan is to put more cameras so you'll have a different view. They'll be able to show more angles and stuff like that to try to enhance some of the dead mm-hmm. time, but they're not going to type in music. You know, Booney has an official list, and then we actually have a winner before we go to break.
His official list of what?
Of things that bother you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
An official list?
Yes.
Oh, we'll talk about that on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
But first, we may have a winner. Mark from South Philly is checking in. Mark, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right, Mark. So are you going to slay the mother music medley for today?
I think so.
All right, let's play it one more time, Tyrone. Let's play it one more time and see if Mark can get it.
Mother.
All right, three songs. What are they?
First one is Mother and Child Reunion by Paul Simon.
The Mother and Child Reunion is only enough. Yep, that's one.
Second one is I'll Always Love My Mama by The Intruders.
I'll Always Love My Mama, she my favorite girl. You only get one, man. All right, what's the third?
It's Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice.
Oh, Mark, you are a superstar. Dude, that is awesome. Because two was really hard to get, I have to admit. Now, the bass line, the Ice, I finally got the bass line. And my Paul Simon with the Mother. But that's really good stuff for you. And you win a gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. So congratulations. You earned this one, Mark.
Thank you very much.
All right, hold on a second. That's good work. Mother and Child Reunion, Paul Simon. I'll Always Love My Mama by The Intruders. And Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice. All right, so Booney's got a list of things that I'm not a fan of.
Yep, that he's accumulated over.
He's accumulated over time.
Over a couple of years.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
He and Ty have been aware of this.
We've been
really?
Aware of this list.
Yeah.
He's been adding to it every time it comes up.
It's so funny.
It to us.
It's great.
It has currently has 14 things.
Oh, 14. Yeah, 14.
And the list is entitled.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the list is entitled Things That Bother Mike.
All right.
You never knew this day would come.
It's
but
terrible.
It did.
We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Let's get the final Twitter poll numbers on the Mike Missinelli Show Twitter poll. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, maybe you want one of those zero-turn mowers or other outdoor power equipment you're in need of. Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. What you can do is order online, paulbmoyer.com, or you want to call them up, order something. They have safe contactless pickup. All you can do is go to their shop in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Agonoff, the final numbers of our Twitter poll.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll has over 1,200 votes, with every league taking steps right now as it's safe for sports to resume. 53% say yes, 47% say no.
All righty. So, the South Korea baseball. Did you watch it again last night? Was it on last night?
I'm sure it was. I don't stay up late. I end up catching it. They re-air it a bunch of times.
So they're broadcasting from the studio, right? And they're like at the TV feed.
These guys are home.
They're home broadcasting it.
They're broadcasting from America.
It's Ravi and Eduardo Perez.
Then one other guy jumps in. In and out, like the reporter. I forget. It was Kirchin for one game. I forget. But yeah, they're treating it like they would a regular game when a person pops on, but it's so late, they're pretty tired. They look pretty tired when they come on, but yeah. they're home, so, you know, I wonder, like, if Ravage got kids or a wife, because he's doing it in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah.
All right, let's...
We're supposed to do this list real fast, Mike.
Oh, the list. Yeah, this is Booney's list of things that I'm not a fan of.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to read it?
Sure.
Or do you want to read it?
No, I don't care who reads it.
Does Mike have it?
No, I don't.
I'll read it. Okay, things that bother Mike. Mm-hmm. Number one, netting at MLB games. Number two, Edgar Garcia birthday wishes. Number three, someone asking you twice if you want airplane headphones in first class. Number four, old jerseys. Number five, kickers. Number six, record scratches. Number seven, Carson Wentz's hat. Number eight, crooked numbers. Number nine, beer with dinner. Number 10, milk. Number 11, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Number 12, people talking on the phone. Number 13, sitcoms. Number 14, the bend over at the supermarket. And number 15, MLB games without fans.
That's awesome. That's an awesome list. What the record scratchers? What's that mean?
The record scratches. I remember distinctly what it was.
What's a record scratcher?
Okay, so it was the day where there was something playing. I think it was in one of our promos.
Yeah.
And it goes, and it's the record scratch.
Oh.
And you go, why do they do that?
Oh, yeah, the record scratch.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
Yeah, that's mild, though. Well, the first two were solid. What were the first two?
Netting at MLB games.
Yeah,
netting, and Edgar.
That cuts a big swath.
Yeah,
it's anybody. It's anybody non important. It's the Edgar Garcia category.
Right.
Of birthdays.
Right.
Bother me. Now the netting, not so like it doesn't bother me as much. I understand it. I'm just saying, if you're behind it, you ought to get a rebate. That's the only thing about that.
Right.
But he's right. Yeah, they're good. They're solid.
Crooked numbers.
Crooked numbers. Hey, we're going to put a crooked number up here. The hell are you talking about?
I like beer with dinner and milk.
Yeah, you didn't like either of those.
No.
Come on, you can't have milk with dinner or a beer. You have beer prior.
Why were you bothered with Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Oh, forget you.
Yeah, he bugged me in some way.
He bugged you in something. I don't know if it was something you watched and he's like, watch this guy.
Curb your enthusiasm. I don't know.
He got on your nerves.
Yeah, he gets on my nerves. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Amy in Fishtown. Amy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Amy.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, Amy?
I wanted to kind of defend Michael Jordan from you for a minute.
Okay.
Because you keep saying Muhammad Ali did X and Joel Embiid did Y. But what you need to think about is Michael Jordan is a Space Jam, Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny hangout, kid-friendly brand. And if he were to go out and talk about politics out of nowhere...
Yeah, 1990, he didn't do Space Jam.
Well, even still, he was working his way towards there.
Wait a minute. He was working his way towards it.
Here's what he was
in 1990. The shoe came out when he was a rookie. It took off crazy and made millions, right?
The point is that that's not who he is.
Well, I'm questioning why.
Well, his entire trajectory would have been different had he gone out and started talking
about... Why would his trajectory have been different?
Because it would have ruined the baseline for his brand, don't you think?
Well, what's more important? I mean, stamping out racism or his brand?
Well, for him, his brand.
Well, then I have a right to question it, because to me, that's out of whack, don't you think?
I don't know. Maybe he really doesn't think about that. Do you know what I mean?
Let me ask you a question. Amy, I know this is difficult to do. Make yourself a black person in North Carolina with a racist senator who still in 1990 fosters segregation. Now, how would you feel about that?
Well, if I was a millionaire basketball player in Chicago.
That's exactly why you should have more of an opinion. If you're a millionaire basketball player, you have clout.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I get the reason. I get his brand. I get that. I get the brand. Space Jam didn't come along until later, and maybe he wouldn't have gotten Space Jam if he had come. I don't know. Maybe he would have. Because it seems to me that most of the country would have seen that as a righteous thing that he did in 1990. Especially his home state. Well, maybe not his home state. I don't know. I don't know. It seems to me that if you have more of a podium, you have more of a responsibility. Tony in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Tony?
Nothing much. Yeah, like, I wanted to talk about the Jordan thing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think that he was just like, I mean, everybody talks about he was such a cold-hearted guy, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Do me a favor. Do you turn up the TV or whatever you got going on in the background? Yeah, because
I'm... Yeah, I got you. Hold on 1 second. How's that?
All right, that's good.
Yeah, like, I don't know. He said everybody said he's a cold-hearted guy, and that's what made him great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, listen, I think you could still be great.
No,
and stand
like,
up for something, you know. Being cold-hearted. What's that have to do with speaking up against racism?
I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, it's. I know it's easy for me to sit here in judgment, and I'm not in his brand. I get it, but the human thing to do seems to be very clear to me.
Yeah, for sure. But like, you know, I kind of look at it both ways. Where like. In that time, he was like on top of the NBA world, you know. Like, I guess maybe for him, if the risks might have, you know, outweighed the benefit at the time. Maybe that's what he was thinking.
All right, now he reviews his life. Okay, now a man has to review his life and what he stood for. Right now, do you think that he in review would have reviewed that situation? He's now 60, and they're doing a documentary. You think that maybe in review he may have said something like, you know, in retrospect, I wish I had done more there.
I think that he thinks about it for sure. Maybe he could have done more.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had a chance to say it, and he didn't say it. In fact, he said the opposite at age 60. Now, you're telling me at the time he does it, all right, I get it, the brand. Now it's in review at age 60. And he's still sticking to the same narrative. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, so that's just how he is.
Yeah, all right, well, and he is what he is, and he's the one who has to live with himself. I would like to think that I would have a different view of that when you review your whole life.
You know, I know people say you should never have regrets, but mm-hmm. I would imagine, well, we all know that none of us are perfect. Like, we know that.
Right.
You would like to think that if we look back on our lives 30 years later after something, there might be a time where we say, you know what? I could have handled that one differently. Yet Jordan doesn't seem, so far recovering from 1984 all the way through, there hasn't even been a single thing where Jordan said, oh, I should have, nothing. I think he feels like he was literally perfect the whole time.
Charles, we had on a little earlier, said that, I said, if your mother had requested you to do something, he said, I would have to look into it more. Well, Michael Jordan had plenty of opportunity to look into it more. And when you look into it more, you're talking about a guy campaigning on segregation. Now, do you need any more? 610-632-0975, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All righty, it's 5:45. We're coming down the home stretch of the Mike Missinelli Show. I can't get that other song out of my head. I always love my mama. She's my favorite girl. You only get one. You only get one. Yeah.
I love that song.
Mother's Day coming up.
It is. Anyway, dozens of people apparently on our Mother Music Medley got the first two. And only one of them got the Ice Baby.
Yeah, right away, people got the first two, according to Connor and Tyler.
That bass line, I thought, gave that away.
Oh, for sure. That was the first song I got.
I thought, I was surprised. That's why I said emphasis on the middle one, because that's they played the least amount. But people got those right away.
Yeah.
But the delay was Ice Baby. I guess you never know.
You never know. All right, let's get Ronnie and Roxborough in here. Ronnie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Ron?
Natalie, hey Tyrone, what's going on? You guys are doing a great job over there, man. You are truly boldly going where no sportscaster has gone before. Mike, I need your insight, Mike, because you guys are always thinking outside the box. I know time is winding up and doing it real quick. Mm-hmm. The sports game as we know it today, with the fan, the stadium, and everything that's connected, is not like when you lose one of your five senses and the body tries to compensate for it. You lose one part of that, it's unnatural. We're living in a society now where people are scared to touch each other, speak to each other, get near each other. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in an unnatural state for us. That adjustment is literally going to take forever. But I need you to do this for me, Mike.
Yes.
Out of all the top, everybody's on the internet binge watching, the top three gangsters, Humphrey Bogart, James Cagney, and what's my man, Edward G. Robinson, because we down here at Roxborough Hospital dispute this thing right now. You can tell me for us. Who is the top gangster?
Well, you went old school. I can't top those old school gangsters. But, like, how about Tony Montana as a gangster?
Who?
Tony Montana in Scarface.
Oh, no. He wasn't a gangster.
That of course he was a gangster.
He's a straight up thug.
Capone.
Right. But do this for me, though. Do this for me real quick, then. We can switch it up real quick and go back to the sports thing. Mm-hmm. This whole thing about them, the Eagles drafting the young quarterback guy, right?
Yeah.
Why people forget that all those years that Aaron Rodgers stood behind Brett Favre when he was coming in, going out, doing the hokey pokey at a retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Young stood behind Montana. And had not Drew Bledsoe not get hurt and health stayed correct, it'd be a whole story written before the Brady Bunch up there. Everybody knows
so
that.
What's your point as it pertains to Hurts? He wasn't nearly as highly ranked as those guys you just told me.
True, very true. But everybody has somebody waiting in the wings to take your place as the Eagles.
Not really. Who do the Kansas City Chiefs have in the wings?
Nobody.
Okay. look at all the great teams that are in the league. Who do they have in the wings?
Nobody.
All right. What is he talking about? You don't have a guy in the wings for very serious reasons. Number one, you don't want to tease a fan base into thinking that guy's better than the guy you're starting. The starter needs all the confidence he can. He can't be looking at, like, this is the thing that people are missing. You're missing, like, possibly a locker room division where guys favor the other guy because in practice he favors them. Or whatever. These are things they want to avoid.
Yeah, Brian Westbrook told that story about how there had to be a team meeting about a backup quarterback.
The Alex Smith thing and Troy Smith.
Yeah, and Troy Smith couldn't play a lick, and they still had a team meeting. What if Hurts can play a little bit? That's already extra pressure on a guy.
That's why you look at the good teams. They don't have anybody waiting in the wings. They're not drafting a backup quarterback.
No.
Because they want to stay clear of that. All right, Tom on a cell. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hey, Mike. You guys are doing a great job, man. I usually agree with you all the time. But it's two things that you're saying that are wrong. With Michael Jordan, you know, it's really not his job to do that. He does. I got two words for you. Colin Kaepernick. He was on the come up. And as soon as he started kneeling, we haven't seen him since.
So, and Colin Kaepernick's okay with that. Because at the end of the day, he was righteous about it. But first of all, let's not compare the two. You're talking about the guy who was the most recognizable sportsman in the world at that time.
It doesn't matter.
That's because sure it does. Of course it matters. Some guys have more clout than others.
Look, he was only in the league, what, 5-6 years at that point? His career could have totally went in the
but it wasn't my he wasn't Michael Jordan. He didn't have immunity like Michael Jordan did.
All right, well, I hear what you're saying. I just don't agree. And number two, real quick, with Wentz, it's nothing wrong with putting a fire under somebody's ass by bringing there somebody in that could take their place. You got a quarterback. I love Wentz, but he's been hurt 3 years in a row, dude. Now maybe he needs to look over his shoulder. There's nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah, I disagree. Bob in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, what's going on,
Bob? What's up, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, no matter how you frame this, no matter how you spin this, every single scenario makes Jordan look bad at this point. There's no chance that anyone can put it in any way to make him look good or sound. He made mistakes. I mean, and okay, let's just admit it. He's not God. He's human. He made mistakes. And I mean, that dude actually won the election. The racist dude actually won the election. So a lot of people voted for him.
And it was a close election.
So the
point is, maybe Jordan could have swung it.
Well, and who knows? Maybe Jordan actually would have agreed with that dude. Maybe he's just different. I mean,
would have agreed with who? Jesse Helms?
The guy that won. Okay. I mean, people voted.
Come on, man.
Like, how do we know? We don't know what Jordan's thinking.
Well, why would Jordan agree with a racist?
Why would he not speak up?
Well, because he was afraid of his brand, but it wasn't because he approved Jesse Helms' principles.
Well, all I'm saying is there is no way anyone can spin this to make him look good.
Well, I agree with that, but there are people that see that his brand as a marketer of himself was more important to him than maybe what the right thing to do was. Which is fine. If that's the way you think, fine. I have a completely different opinion. If we're not going to take advantage of the people who can make a difference to eliminate racism, then who can we depend on? Then you have no hope at all. All right.
You know, there is a theory I had to throw at you since we're late in the show, where they say that Jordan being neutral but growing the brand and getting bigger had other kids aspire to do that, and maybe that had more of a positive effect. This is just something that people present. Okay. Had more of a positive effect than if he was active.
Okay, well, how about both? Why can't we have both?
Well, I agree that I don't think that would have been going out on a limb that would have lost him endorsements.
Well, that's the point. Kaepernick, he wasn't going to fall off the cliff.
Right, Kaepernick went out on such a large limb that it made people uncomfortable. I don't know how many people would have truly been uncomfortable with the headline of Michael Jordan doesn't like racism.
Exactly.
But some
now,
people
Kaepernick
think,
ventured into the pig thing and all that, even though to him his protest was righteous, and I actually agreed with his protest being righteous, and I like people who stand up that way. Michael Jordan wasn't going to like wear pig socks. He was saying, you know what? Racism is not good, and it's about time we have a change than having a racist senator. All right, Joe Torti and Devon Givens on the show after this one on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned. Lunch Talk Live is next, and then later, get this one. Ben Simmons' first triple-double. Sixers Pistons from 2017. Good viewing it on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.